Hello everyone, I am Enchung D, your friendly budgetarian, and welcome to my podcast. Today, I will have my first ever guest in this entire season. But today, I will be with my friend Anthony Yuri. We'll call him Yuri. He's Filipino, but he grew up in Papua New Guinea and Australia, so we'll have a different perspective.
Hi everybody.
Today, we will be talking about what to spend on during holidays, because I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of listeners would love to hear like a different perspective from what they spend on during their holidays. I'll start with my first thing that we really usually spend on, trips, family trips, because most of the time, this season is the only time that we get to be together. We go out of the country and just basically bond with each other. But at the same time, there's a tendency wherein you spend beyond your budget or like beyond your holiday budget. So I think most of the time people justify that it's okay simply because this is just once a year thing that you get to do and might as well just spend on everything. What can you say about that?
You know, during the holiday period, I think it's important to ground yourself and maybe not spend beyond what you're capable of. But I think it's important to use the time to, like you said, spend time with yourself, spend time with your family. So a lot of self-reflection, connecting with the people that you love. And I think, you know, clearly there's going to be some expenditure with gifts and with food and alcohol at the time.
Because there's so many options. Like, you can just go to, like, spend on experiences more than just actual, you know, material things when you go abroad or when you go to a family trip or when you go to, like, holiday vacations, right?
Yeah, I think generally overseas people would absolutely spend the money on a holiday. They would just blow their cash for December. That's typical. So that's typical in Australia. There would be no saving involved at all.
Really?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, so at least we know that it's not only a Filipino thing. Especially in the provinces. I would know this because I grew up from the province. There's a tendency wherein people or like a family would borrow money from other just to like other people just to be able to celebrate the Christmas season. And I think there's a proper way of dealing with that. I mean, you don't have to spend so much, right? You just have to realize that this season, it's more of like your time to spend with your family more than actually buying them stuff. I rather spend on experiences than buy my family, you know, presents, like luxury stuff.
During holidays, I usually like to spend money on food.
And drinks.
Food and drinks and gifts. Typical. Very typical. But I would say that that used to be me in the past. I think version two of Yuri this year is actually going to be saving a lot of money. Yeah, I think I've had a lot of time this year to do a lot of self-reflection and learn what's important to me, learn what's valuable. To me, what my values are. I think the way someone spends is a reflection of their own personal stage in life, I think. So, you know, everyone starts off egocentric as a baby, even probably throughout being their teens.
Till 35.
35, there you go. And then, you know, they expand, they become ethnocentric, start to care about people around them. Then they become world-centric, start to care about people that are, they're not necessarily connected to directly. And then eventually you can progress to becoming spirit-centric.
Another thing, I think people might think that we're depriving them of something fun. Something that takes away the whole purpose of Christmas season if they keep on thinking about their budget. Like, where does it, where do we draw the line?
I think you need to get clear about what makes you happy. And I think you need to get clear about what matters to you and who matters to you.
Ah, I love that. Who matters to you?
Because I think a lot of the time people are seeking validation during this time of year. It's like, this is a time I can prove to people around me that I made it. I can spend money and treat people. I can show my family that, you know, I can. They can rely on me. This and that. And I think that's a lot of external validation that they're trying to seek.
That's five cents. It's nice that you mentioned that, because one of my points would be presence, and I would know some people who would like really, you know, shower people with gifts, and then I think that's how people would sort of validate their friendship, if they would get a good kind of gifts from that person. And I realize, I'm not saying that what I do is better than others, but what I would do is would like write personal notes. It doesn't have to be a long note or like a long love letter. Those notes would sometimes go beyond the actual gift that I would give that, that person.
Fantastic, yeah. I mean, that's a lost art. You know, handwriting notes and cards. That's something
I didn't realize until I started I started giving out Christmas cards to people.
There you go.
All right, let's go to tips on tracking your holiday spending. Number one, we have a definite list of whom you're buying for and set a spending limit for every present. You know, like for example, in the Star Magic family, like these people, I would really put value in them, because these are the people that I constantly work with. So when I would do something, I would give them like a Christmas present and like a short Christmas note. And I realize that they value it more than the actual gift. Number two, be a sentimental spender. What I usually do, I would constantly collect stuff from like 6 months before Christmas season, just so by the time Christmas season comes, you won't be cramming to go shopping and like buy these people presents.
That's a great way to manage your resources as well.
Yeah, yeah. Is it the same in Australia or in Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, people generally cram. And I think your suggestion of buying throughout the year is actually a great way to manage that. And you can get good deals throughout the year, you know, when you can buy something for cheaper.
Okay, number three, spend less on traditions. Do you agree?
Probably disagree. I think traditions should be handed down.
But what if you're going beyond your budget? You can probably tweak your traditions every now and then.
Yeah, I would say naturally it would.
Like buy crispy pata instead. Crispy pata instead of the whole lechon, right?
Yeah, or you can charge a door entry.
Every time everyone...
everyone can chip in for the lechon.
Oh my gosh, I should start doing that for Norway. For my holiday, for my Christmas vacation. Okay, I'm going to follow that.
Right.
What's your usual tradition in...
In Australia?
In Australia.
Well, I was raised by a very strong Filipina mother, so it was Noche Buena every single year. It would just be the night before Christmas, so we would have the midnight dinner on the 24th, welcoming the 25th, and it would be, you know, the full spread: roast pork, roast turkey, ham.
What do you do with the leftovers?
We usually consume it.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of food, but you know, that'll last the whole week.
Good.
So
good.
Having a Filipino mum, she'll make sure that it gets consumed, yeah.
All right, number four, choose time over money. I'm very much 100% for this, because again, I would value the time that I spend with my mom, with my dad, with my brothers, because this, we don't usually see each other, but when we do, I really want it to be a quality time.
Yeah, I think I'm the same with you, Enchong. I think time is definitely more important.
What else do you usually spend during during holidays?
In terms of spending, I spend a lot of time planning, planning for the year ahead. I spend a lot of time reflecting on what's happened in the last 12 months. And I think that's very important to learn all of your mistakes, all the things that went well during the year. And then investing into what you need to learn for the following year.
I like that. So you basically reflect on more than you're spending your personal life, right?
100%. I think you need to do it. It's like your yearly check.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a trickle-down effect. We're in, okay, now I'm going to reassess my life. I'm going to reflect on my life. But at the same time, everything that happens to you will also change from your spending, from the way you carry yourself, the way you talk to people, the way you handle your emotions. It all goes. Maybe now we're just focusing on spending, but actually during the holidays, it's, you know, there's so much to that you can reflect and reassess.
Yes, and time is more valuable than money.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize this. Realize you're spending time, even when you're doing nothing. You're wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, time is money. If people decided what their hourly rate was, let's just say it was $50 an hour. For every hour you're not doing anything or spending time on yourself, you're wasting money.
I think since we're discussing about like spending during the holidays, I think it's also nice to what are the things that would be more meaningful to spend on during holidays. Like I listed down some stuff. Okay, number one, donate. Right? I think donating is more of like, since you have so much, especially during this season, if you put a little bit of like set aside a little amount for a particular group or you feel like you're very really connected to, and there's so much. There's so many things that you can donate to. People that went through, like the people from Mindanao.
I would say maybe top three things I spend during Christmas would be a little bit of money on myself, and then a little bit of money on family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also a good idea to do a little bit of that donation, tithing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either spend that on people that you know need it. There was a charity I was involved in this year called Make-A-Wish Foundation for kids that are basically doing their very last wish before they die. So if their last wish was, I want to meet a particular person, you know, I would organize for them to meet like L.A. Tenorio or...
Oh, you've done this already?
Alyssa Valdez, yeah.
So like anyone can just go to like, for example, Make-A-Wish Foundation and be a volunteer for
100%. You can be a volunteer. You can donate to the gift. You can be the gift. Some of these kids just want a big hug, you know, like it's really sad, but it's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I would recommend for this Christmas if anyone doesn't have any ideas. To reach out to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
And you don't have to spend a dime for it.
You don't have to at all. You can volunteer your time.
Number two, monetize your hobby and your passion.
It's a good idea.
Right?
I think in this day and age, you can.
Yeah.
In this day and age, you can monetize anything.
True.
You can educate people on any platform, social media, YouTube.
Make a podcast.
Make a podcast.
I'm passionate about it. And I'm monetizing it. Number three, start a small business since you have extra cash for this season. Okay, so if I'm listening right now, I want to ask, okay, what is a small business that Enchong is talking about? What can you suggest? If we're just talking about like a small scale business, just so you can kickstart it during the holidays.
I would say just do a little bit of research on what people want. I think people can
start from there.
Start from there, yeah. Because I think most people start with their great idea. Like, I think people are going to love buying leche flan. But if no one's actually going to buy it, just because you love it doesn't mean everyone loves it. I think business is about solving problems. But if you start with your idea and you're not even seeing if there's a problem in the market or a gap in the market, I think you're off on the wrong foot.
These are the types of things, information that I wouldn't be able to communicate with them properly without another perspective. Because now, see, if I just say, okay, start a small business, it's so easy to say. But now that you're saying this, okay, maybe before starting a small business, research, do your research first, which is cool. Okay. Next up, invest in yourself. Gym. I was just thinking about this. Like, right? Because you have to invest in your health. Okay, maybe gym sounds very vain, but I was pertaining to health.
Right.
Right? Because you have to end your year healthy, start the year healthy as well.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I think your health is more important than your wealth.
And then anything else.
Yeah. Who wants to die, you know?
Workshops.
Workshops, self-development.
Anything
self-development. Reading books.
I don't know if we can discuss it. Like, I think the Philippines should have a more open arms acceptance to, like, a psychiatrist. Because there are so many things that we don't realize that we do every day, and not realizing that we're ending up becoming this person that we really don't like.
In my experience, I really like counseling psychologists because they don't give you the label of what's wrong with you. They won't say you have narcissistic personality disorder or you're bipolar. They'll just notice your traits and then say, these are the things that you can do to divert the way you think, to divert the things that you're doing so you can live a healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts here, you know?
And it will reflect with anything from your spending, from the way you deal with people, the way you handle the traffic every day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It manages all your relationships with the people around you and even with the experiences you're going through.
So yeah, I really advise it, like, invest in yourself, because people forget sometimes. You know, I mentioned before that Filipinos would have insurance in their motorcycles, in their cars, but they will never insure their health.
If people can't afford health insurance or can't afford to spend money on their mental health care, you've got to build a community around you of healthy minded people. If you're always hanging out with toxic people, you're going to become toxic. You have to start deciding to build peers and friends around you that are healthy, that are good people with good hearts, and that's a way of managing your mental health too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend, if you don't have money, just do that. You've got to start meeting some good people.
Listen to that. I may never be able to discuss that, but I'm so happy we have this dude right here. Next up, emergency fund.
Very important.
I really think that since you have extra cash during this season, maybe put a little bit onto your emergency fund, because these are the things that, okay, we're taking it for granted. Maybe it's not important by now, but you'll never know. You'll never know when will you need it.
Mm.
Do you have an emergency fund?
I have a never touch fund. I put away 2% of any money that comes my way.
2%?
And I put it in account and I never touch it. There's no cards attached to it. I try to ask my bank to put it in a term deposit that's long term.
2% every month, or like anything that comes your way?
Anything. Salary, if I make a profit from a deal,
yeah.
Any investment income. That's after your taxes.
Uh-huh.
That's once it's yours, I would take 2%, put it aside, and I would never, ever touch it.
Unless... Ever.
For me, I would need to be on my deathbed to touch it. Or someone that's close to me on their deathbed, then I would touch it.
You know, again, I'm so happy because one of the purpose of this podcast is, like, while I'm sharing what I know, I'm also excited to learn something from the viewers and from my guest.
Mm.
And that's something that I never got to really focus on, like, how much do I put in an emergency fund? And my emergency fund is always being touched.
Is it?
Yeah. When good investment comes in my way, I'd be like, right, maybe I could touch it a little bit. Hindi lang to just because malaki yung kinikita mo. Dapat kahit maliit yung kinikita mo, 2% goes to the emergency fund. At least now we have a figure, you know, 2%. Hindi siya masakit, hindi mo siya mapapansin. But I think it's a good figure. It's a good amount. Well, last, pay off debts.
You know, paying off debt is your biggest ROI, if you think about it. if you have a credit card that has a 20% interest rate on it, when you're paying that debt off, you're pretty much getting a 20% ROI on paying off that debt.
You're right.
That's a safe ROI.
And you're basically ending the year with a little bit of, if you can't pay off your debt totally, at least like a good amount of it will be, you know, it gives you a peace of mind.
Mm. Debt is a good teacher. I think debt forces you to manage your funds. And if you have debt and you're not managing it well, then that teacher will show up one day. It may not show up right now, but it will one day. Once that debt comes knocking on your door, finally knocking on your door, will be the day you will learn the lesson to manage your finances.
Put that in your number one priority, pay off your debt. All right, that is the time that we have. Anthony, Yuri, thank you so much. I'm so happy.
It's my pleasure.
If you guys are wondering why he's here, because he has more experiences. He looks young, but he has so much experiences in his life, and we can learn a lot from him. That's all the time we have for today. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever podcast app you're using. Thank you for listening, guys. Thank you to Podcast Network Asia, whose studios are located at We Remote Coworking Philippines, for helping us out with our show. Check out their socials, facebook.com/podcastnetwork.asia. On Twitter, it's at Podcast Net Asia and at Podcast Network Asia on Instagram. You can also visit their official website at www.podcastnetwork.asia.